Great. Well, welcome everybody. As I mentioned, this is Caroline Sparks, and I'd like to welcome you to the first conference call for RF101, which is Recreation Foundations. And as I mentioned earlier, normally I host the calls from the traditional territory of the Quanlin Dun First Nation Ton Watchin Council in Whitehorse, but today I'm in gorgeous Iqaluit. It's actually the first time I've ever been here where there's no ice in the bay. So it's beautiful, and the snow is down nice and low, and all the kids are playing outside. So it's a lovely day here in Iqaluit. So I'm very honored to actually be able to host this call from there. As I mentioned, I'm really glad to see that there's people in the chat room. The chat room will help us have a conversation. We all know how well cell phone service, internet, and Northwest Hull generally works across the north. And Connie, you'll be introduced to that as well. So if for some reason I get dropped from the call, I will put a message in the chat and I'll call back in. So don't hang up if I, you know, sort of disappear. And if you guys get dropped, then just call back in as well, and that's totally okay. So what I'd like to do is just do a quick introduction. And usually when I run a conference call, as I mentioned, we have a circle. So if you imagine a virtual circle with us going in alphabetical order by first name, I'll find more creative ways to do it as we get to know each other better, but we'll start that way. Usually I start off with an introduction and give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to each other so we get to know each other's voices. And then we'll have a little bit of a conversation and a discussion about some of this week's topics. So Recreation Foundations is actually the first learning event in a series of 12 that lead to a certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. And some of you have already taken some of the learning events, and some of you are starting with this one. And the Recreation North training program is set up that you can start anywhere. But just so you know, the general flow is to start with this one. So for those of you who've already done some, this one might seem a little easier, but it will get you connected with a new group of people. So I'd like to welcome everybody. If you happen to have the slide presentation or the presentation for RF101 open, or if you've had a look at it, you'll notice that this learning event encourages you to recognize that recreation means different things to different people. It will help us all understand how community recreation connects to national recreation priorities. And we'll also describe how recreation benefits individual health and community and environmental well-being. So let's begin with a round of introductions. I will post, I know some of you guys are posting great things in the chat already, but I'll just ask you to share that on the call for people who aren't in the chat. So I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your favorite recreation activity. I will post the question in the chat so that if you're in there, you can see what it is. And if you can't remember the question and you can't see it in the chat, then just ask me. That's totally okay. While you're thinking about your answer, so I'm going to ask you again a bit about yourself in about 10 seconds or so, 10, 15 seconds, and what your favorite recreation activity is. So, Amy, we're going to go to you first, but before we do that, Eliza was not able to join the call today, and she sent me something about herself. So she works with the City of Whitehorse at the Canada Game Centre, and her favorite activity is using the trail network around Whitehorse for all sorts of things like dog walks, running, mountain biking, cross-country skiing, and picking berries. And she loves the trails because there's something for everybody there. So, Amy, over to you then. So we'll go, and I'll type the order in the chat, too, so that you can see who's next.
Hey, I'm Amy. I'm the program coordinator at Elder Active Recreation Association in Whitehorse. I came here from the CGC, where I used to be a fitness specialist, and my favorite activity is trail running here. There's such a huge, awesome network of trails that connects right from my back door, and if I wanted to, I could just get on them and not come back for a week, which is the dream.
That's awesome. Is there any snow down on the trails yet? There wasn't when I left.
Not yet, but it's supposed to this weekend, I think.
It's coming, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for introducing yourself, Amy. Over to you, Connie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Connie. I'm currently in Toronto. It's hard to pick a favorite recreation activity, but I guess I like swimming and hiking.
Sorry, was that hiking?
Yes, swimming and hiking.
That's great. Nice combination of activities. Thank you very much, Connie. And welcome. I'm really glad you could join us. Okay, over to Ethan next then.
Good day. I'm Ethan, president from Kovlok Tuk Nunavut, and I'm a recreation coordinator trainee for the Hamlet of Kovlok Tuk. And my favorite recreation activity is probably walking. I do a lot of walking, especially during the summer when I'm frequenting.
Sorry, what types of hunting was that, Ethan?
Turbo hunting.
Oh, yeah, that would take a lot of walking, I bet. Did you get any this summer?
Yep, I got a total of 5 caribou throughout the summer since beginning of June.
Wow, is that enough meat for the winter, then?
Yep, it's more than enough. I distributed it quite a bit to family members and community members.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that that worked out for you. So thank you for sharing. Thanks for introducing yourself and welcome back again. Okay, let's go to Joshua, then Carly, then Kelly.
Well, hello, my name is Joshua. I work here in Faro as a rec assistant, and one of my favorite activities would be basketball.
Oh, that's a good one. You can play it all year long, right?
Indoor or outdoor, yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that you could join us. Thank you. And over to you, Carly.
My name is Carly. I'm living in Whitehorse, Utah. I work at the Kennedy Game Center as the special event coordinator and drop-in coordinator. My favorite activity would be mountain biking right now.
Ah, so you're hoping the snow doesn't come too early, too.
Yeah, I'm hoping we have a few more weeks left.
Yeah, last year was a good fall for mountain biking, so enjoy. Thanks, Carly. Over to you, Kelly, if you're able to jump in and introduce yourself. Kelly, I'm not sure if you're able to... I can hear you now, yes.
Sorry about that. Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm Faro, and my favorite rec activity would definitely be group hiking.
Oh, that's more fun than going by yourself.
Do a lot of mom hikes here, Faro.
Aw, great. Well, thanks. Welcome to the program, the training program, Kelly. Thanks for joining us. And over to you, Nathan.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can, hello. Yes.
Hi, this
we can hear you.
I'm in Fort Liard. I'm the recreation leader here. I started a few months ago, and my favorite recreational activities are any team sports, really, volleyball, baseball, soccer. I never got too much into hockey, though. That's the only sport that I didn't really try out.
And what was the picture you posted? What were you guys doing there? You said something about a firefighting challenge?
So in Fort Liard, there's a couple fire departments. There's one for the forest fires, like the forestry ENR team. And then there's the, in-community fire department that I'm a part of, and then... the fire chief on our in the town's fire department challenged the ENR officers team, since we have about that same fire team. I think right now we have eight members in the Fort Liard Valley Fire Department, and it was just a
game. Wow, that's great.
We ended up winning, so you beat the
EMNR guys out.
Yeah, it was all just for fun, though. There's like, you know, no prize money or anything. Like, we had some games in the past here in Fort Liard with the prize money, and it always got, like, really sour.
It's probably better to keep it light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm really glad you could join us, Nathan, so welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, and Roger, over to you.
Well, hi there, I'm Roger. I'm the Recreation Training Coordinator for Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon, or RPA. My favorite recreation is probably either hiking or fishing.
Awesome. So mostly summer stuff, but some, I guess, winter hiking, ice fishing?
Yeah. No rain out there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Roger. And I better introduce myself. I missed the C in the alphabet myself, but I'm Caroline Sparks, and as I mentioned, I'm normally based out of Whitehorse in the Yukon. I've been in the North for more than 30 years, which is giving me a clue as to how old I am, and I've been in recreation and sport for just as long as that or a little bit longer. I'm currently the learning consultant and the trainer for the Recreation North Training Program. So we've been really fortunate to have had the support of Arctic Inspiration Prize to create this training program. And this is our fourth year of running it, so it's really exciting. In 4 years now, we've had more than 200 people from more than 45 communities across the North and in some of the provinces as well participate in the training. And the thing I love the most is hearing your stories. So I think you guys will really enjoy learning from each other as well. So thank you and welcome to the training program. So moving on with the call then, this week's activities that you would have had a look at in the learning event, I usually lay them out by week, so you'll see week one and week two. And in week one, the activities show you sort of some of the variety to recreation. And just even reading your introductions that you posted, you can tell that recreation means different things to different people. So each person has their kind of own personal definition or idea or picture in their mind of what recreation means to them. It's interesting, too, because recreation might also be different because of the community that you live in, the age that you are, your family, your cultural background, and generally speaking, what's around you. You've heard people from Whitehorse talk about trails, and when I've been to Yellowknife, I've heard people talk about waterways. So different, the different geography around our communities also impacts how we see recreation. There's activities 3, which is linked on slide 7, helps you contrast characteristics of recreation from a built place to a natural space, from something that you might do alone to something that you could do with other people. It shows you that recreation can be organized or unorganized. And also, we also think of recreation as being passive, like quilting, crafts, reading, or active, like getting out on your bike and swimming and hiking. Slide 8 on the presentation for this learning event gives you a Canadian definition of recreation. And you may have some of the similar characteristics or similar words. I've seen a lot of people in your what community recreation is. You talked about the physical and mental benefits. A number of you mentioned the social aspect of recreation. So you've got a lot of those characteristics that are captured in the Canadian definition of recreation. In the field of recreation, we also use many different terms, and some of those are shown on slide 9. So if you're not sure what they are, we have a glossary that you can take a look at and see what the terms actually mean. And knowing terms that are used in the recreation sector can be really helpful when you're planning recreation. Maybe you're applying, like Kelly did, for a Real Leader program through RTA, or, you know, Nathan, maybe you're doing a presentation about a program that you want to start. So knowing what those terms are is important. And so what I'd like to do is do another round. We'll go in the same order this time, so we'll start with Amy again this time, and then we will reverse our order for our final chat. And I see that we've got Liz. Did you just join the call? I noticed that you just popped into the chat with us.
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome, thank you.
I'm still trying to find the slide.
This is okay, what I'll do is I can put the link into the chat for you because I noticed you're in there. And this is Caroline. You and I may have met about 3 or 4 years ago through one of the learning events. So welcome.
Thank
you. So when we come, we've just done a round of introductions. So when we come round to you, I'll ask you to introduce yourself and then answer the question. But we're going in alphabetical order today. So do you prefer Elizabeth or Liz?
Liz.
Okay, so then you get to come after Carly and Kelly in the order. So that bumps you a little further down in our circle today. So I'll let you know when we get there. So the question that I have for those of you in to go around this time is, what influences patterns of recreation in your community? So is it your geography? Is it age of the people? Is it the is it the programs that you have? What influences how people recreate in your community? And I'm going to just pop that in the chat so that you can all see the question. And we'll go in the same order. I will also put that in the chat too. But that means we'll go from Amy to Connie to Ethan. So one more thing before I pass it over to Amy is, sometimes people prefer to listen on calls, and I just wanted to reinforce that I believe that listening is just as important as talking. So if you feel like you don't know or you're not comfortable answering a question or you don't have an answer on the tip of your tongue or you prefer to listen to what other people are sharing, just say pass when I come to you. Please don't feel like you absolutely have to talk, because there's many, many ways you can participate besides just talking. So it's up to you. So let's go over to Amy. Amy, in your community, which is Whitehorse, what do you think influences recreation patterns?
There's a lot of different things. Age, accessibility, the seasons. I think the thing that I hear most or that I see most often is weather, because I feel like in Whitehorse, there can be like 17 different types of weather in the course of the day. And, that's sort of what most often keeps people in my experience in the classes that I've taught or the, initiatives that I've been involved with. That's one of the things that keeps people away or brings them out. That's maybe a Canadian thing in general, but I feel like since I moved here, I noticed that even more. Is that everybody's very attuned to the weather and it kind of dictates your day.
Yeah, and it takes us a bit to get used to changes in weather. So like when fall hits, right, things slow down a little bit until people are like, oh, it's winter. I can handle this now.
Yeah, it's, I don't remember when kids started, when they went back to school, but it was like an immediate change. Like that is fall and now, like, people are streaming at Elder Active anyway. They're coming through the door, even though it's seniors and they don't have kids going back to school right now. It's like, this is the mark. Now it's a different season. Now we're moving on to the fall slate of activities. Yeah,
and it'll be interesting as we move through the learning events to hear from people in different parts of the three territories, because that seasonal pattern varies. Like Ethan was talking about, hunting caribou in the summer, whereas I know in the Yukon that's a late summer fall thing. So there's different patterns across the territory. So it's interesting to see how weather affects our recreation. Thank you very much, Amy. Connie, I'd like to invite you to answer that question. What influences recreation patterns in your community?
I think seasons impact it as well, and weather, but also accessibility is pretty big. So things like cost and like where different like things like community centers or just places you can recreate. So I live in the city, so depending on what type of recreation it is, it's more accessible. But for things like if you want to go hiking or mountain biking or camping, you have to go a bit further out, and not everyone has access to it, or the cost is pretty big too.
Yeah, it's interesting how those are tied together, right? So the accessibility sometimes affects the cost as well, right? Because you have to get somewhere, so, and then you have to have transportation and things like that. So, thanks, Connie. Ethan, how about yourself? What influences recreation patterns in your community?
That's a good question, and it got me thinking quite a bit. And maybe I'll just pass from now on this question.
Sure, that's great. Would you like me to come back to you around at the end, or you can pop something in the chat if you have some ideas as well. Thanks, Ethan.
Possibly pop something in the chat before then.
That would be great. Thank you. Joshua, how about you? I know there's a few of you guys from FARO. What interests or what affects or influences how people recreate in your community?
I believe accessibility would definitely be one of them. Another one will be leadership. Somebody that can coach people to come out to use the accessible things in our community. But those would be the two that stick out for me.
Leadership's an interesting one. I haven't had many people mention it, but now that you say it, I think that it is quite important to have somebody to encourage and provide and support, because not everybody's comfortable doing things on their own or taking that initiative. So that's a really good one to add. Thank you. Carly, over to you. What influences recreation patterns in your community?
I'm definitely going to have to go with Amy's answer on this one, weather. Working in an indoor recreation facility, it's super noticeable that in the summer, there's no one in the building. And then as soon as it gets a little cold outside, everyone's back in the building. It's a little bit crazy, actually. I think the other one would be trends. Like, I've noticed certain outdoor activities are getting more and more trendy, so I've noticed a lot of people all of a sudden start biking or start paddleboarding or things like that.
Do you think those trends are as a result at all of the public health restrictions throughout the pandemic?
Yeah, I think that and the limited supply of certain recreational things, like ATVs, you are super high in demand, or bikes, or you can't buy bikes right now. I think that was really affected by the pandemic.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it'll be interesting to see if those trends stay. Like, I think more people in general are recreating outdoors than perhaps beforehand. So that's an interesting point. It'll be cool to see what happens. Thanks, Carly. Kelly, are you okay to chat, to unmute and share what influences recreation patterns in your community?
Yes, my tongue is being quite low. He's pretty quiet. I think from my experience here in FARO, I'm going to say availability, population, and volunteers. I think our population is growing like every day. And there's a lot of things that people would love to get into, especially for group activities. And sometimes we just don't have enough. And I think like Josh said as well, with the leadership, we need more leaders. We need more volunteers in town to put together more of those group activities.
Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? Especially in a really small community.
For sure.
Yeah, and if you're I would imagine that the population in FARO is actually a lot younger than what it used to be, right? So, then maybe you don't have to, with more young people, you need more volunteers, so.
And we have new young families moving into town constantly. I mean, as they can find housing, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other challenge.
Yeah.
That's great, thanks. Thanks, Kelly. Over to you, Liz. If you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself, sort of your name, where you're located, so people can get used to your voice, and then also you know, let us know what influences recreation patterns in your community. That would be great.
Okay, I'm I just moved to Fort Good Hope, so I'm one of the new teachers here, but this is my home community actually, so it's really good to be back. My favorite recreational activity would have been, used to be like slow pitch and broom ball depending on the season, but it's now more into yoga and walking. And for what influences recreation, I'll have to say ditto to a couple of ladies. It's access to equipment, access to coaches and facilitators. If there's somebody who's, you know, someone could be in the town pioneering an activity which could suggest a trend while that facilitator's there. Also, the time of the year, whether in seasonal, for example, there's a hockey season, there's a soccer season, so I imagine that would influence. And then there's also the traditional harvesting, like there's a lot of hunting going on right now, so hauling meat, cutting, boating and whatnot, so some of the recreation is certainly tied to traditional activities, and right now it's a lot of moose hunting going on right now.
Yeah, for sure, and it's interesting how those cycles work. As I said a bit earlier on the call, some of the traditional harvesting or gathering activities or even other traditional cultural activities seem to be on different cycles depending on where you are in the north. So I would imagine Tuktuk might be different to Fort Good Hope, and here in Iqaluit, which is where I'm hosting the call from today, you know, I flew in and over the river, and there's all sorts of camps set up, but I found out that fishing season's just finished. So it's really interesting to know what those cycles are and how those influence recreation patterns. So thank you for sharing, Liz, and welcome.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Nathan and then Roger, and then Ethan's posted in the chat, so I'll share what Ethan said for anyone who's not in the chat. So over to you, Nathan.
Yeah, you guys covered a lot of the, you know, things that happen similar here in Fort Liard, but things that I want to add would be, say, COVID. That's been like a big, you know, thing, say, with the outbreak here in the NWT. We've had to stop some recreational activities. And I'd say outreach, but we have some means of being able to do that a bit better. I'd say hunting season, just like Liz there, just kind of like baseball last night. We were missing a few people just because, you know, they were out hunting, and it's not a bad thing. And I'd say volunteers as well, too. Because a lot like other communities, I've heard it's hard to, you know, encourage some volunteers to facilitate or. And I have that same issue myself as well, too.
That's great. And thanks for pointing out COVID, because I think that had a rapid impact on how people recreated. Some of it, you know, very negative because a lot of things were shut down. But in other ways, I think some families have been, you know, families, more family recreation has become a little bit more popular, or outdoor recreation as well. So. Mm-hmm. Excellent points. Thanks for adding those, Nathan. Over to you, Roger.
Yeah, so a lot of really good things have been said. One thing I would add would be time of the day. So folks, or certain folks who have young families or who have to work, shift work, whatever, just even be able to find the time to recreate really impacts things here. There's a lot of shift work here and a lot of mine folks, so people are out of town for 2 or 3 weeks and then they come back in, and keeping the schedules can be a little bit more challenging.
You know, it's a good point, and the time of the day fits in with the seasons, too. You know, it's much easier to go and recreate when you have 24 hours of daylight than two. Oh, good point. Thanks, Roger. And Ethan's added a really good point in here. Ethan mentions accessibility and also advertising. That's something that we haven't mentioned. So the way – thanks for adding that, Ethan, because that is really true. I think the patterns of how people learn about what's going on are different from territory to territory and also from community to community. For example, I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard in NWT, Facebook works pretty well for getting things out. I think in the Yukon, we're probably still at word of mouth and that sort of thing. So there's different patterns and different ways of advertising and different places that people look for what's going on, and that will affect patterns of recreation. So thanks for adding that, Ethan. Thanks, everyone. That was a good chat about what sort of influences how people recreate. So as we can see from that, you know, not only is it about recreation, about who you are individually, but it's unique to your family and also the circumstances in your community. So we've talked a little bit on this call so far about what recreation is and what it looks like in your communities. We also know that there's common themes that underlie the importance of recreation in our lives. But to really get to the root of recreation and to really do a good job about engaging and involving other people in recreation, we really need to explore the why is recreation. Like, why do we as leaders spend our time and energy to offer recreation programs? And why is recreation essential? If you happen to have the slides, and if you don't have the slides open in front of you, that's totally okay too. But one of the slide 11 shows that recreation is good for people. It's good for physical health, mental health, spiritual health. It's also good for relationships. We just talked about COVID, and I think that COVID has and recreation has improved some family relationships, for example. It's also good for mental and spiritual health as well. Oh, I just said that, sorry. for the environment and also for the economy. So I want to take a moment just to think about how powerful recreation can actually be in our lives, in the lives of our families, and in our communities. So I'm going to ask you to share your own vision of recreation by explaining what you think your community might be like 10 years from now if you had lots of great opportunities for recreation and lots of people participating. And we are going to flip the order of the circle so we don't put Amy on the spot three times. So, Roger, that's going to put you and Nathan on the spot first. So let me just explain, and I'm going to share Eliza's answer while you think about your own, and I'll also put a question into the chat. So the question is, we all believe, and I know that we do believe this, we all believe that recreation changes our lives for the better and changes our communities for the better. In a perfect world, what would be different in your community 10 years from now as a result of recreation? So let me just pop that in the chat so that you can see that question. And again, we're going to go in reverse order this time. I will put the order in the chat too so that you can see. And if anyone would prefer to type your answer in the chat rather than talking, go ahead and you can start working on that. And I'll just share with you, Eliza sent me her answer because she wasn't able to join the call today. And she said that for her community, recreation needs to continue to grow as the community grows and changes. And she wants to see recreation being more inclusive and accessible so that the opportunities to recreate are in each small neighborhood and not in one facility that people have to have a car or something to get to. She has said that, you know, one thing that would be different would be better public transportation in Whitehorse so that people can access recreation better. So that was her answer. So let's see how you guys feel about this one. So let's start with Roger, and then we'll go to Nathan, and then Liz.
So in my ideal world, it's more of the back-end stuff. I would like to see in 10 years recreation actually be given the credit that it deserves and the funding stability that it needs to continue instead of it being first in cut budget.
Yeah, that's a big one. So people recognizing the essential nature of recreation and funding it as such rather than funding it as the icing on the cake or something like that, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Thanks, Roger. Nathan, how about yourself? You know, what would be different in your community 10 years from now in an ideal or perfect world?
I'd say, here in Fort Yard, what we would need and that I'd like to strive to get for the community would be some canoes. We used to have canoes, but I think they were sold. I don't know why, but that was years ago now. A full fitness center, a separate building for a fitness center, just because where we have it right now, it's not ideal for having it open 24/7. A new location for our garden. Right now it's in airport area, so we can't grow certain plants and stuff there. A renovated ball field, some turf for the arena, because right now it's like a gravel, so we can't really use it during the winter time. And just like Roger, funding stability, and I'd say upgraded parks within the community as well too. But that's what I've identified since I started. So.
Yeah, and you started a couple of months ago?
Yes, about two and a half months ago.
That's great. I like how you identify a variety of things. Like you mentioned canoes, so getting active out on the water in a way that's, you know, a little bit more traditional as far as the way people tend to get out on the water in the past. But then you've mentioned the fitness center, that is sort of a newer way of being active, a garden, which is important to people of all ages. So it's, I find it interesting that you're highlighting many of those different aspects that support, you know, a robust or healthy recreation activities or opportunities in your community. So that's neat. Thank you. You've got a lot of work ahead of you, though.
Yeah. That's what I've seen. But then it's where I think I can, you know, get it done.
Awesome. That's great. Well, we'll be looking forward to, you know, hearing how things are going over the next while, because I think you're joining all of the learning events over the next 9 or 10 months. So it's really mm-hmm. fun talking to people at the beginning and then seeing where you get to after. It'll be just about a year by the time we wrap up this cycle of learning events. So thanks. Mm-hmm. Over to you, Liz. In a perfect world, what would be different in your community 10 years from now because of recreation?
Well, the thing is, I just moved here on the 10th, so I haven't really had a chance to ascertain what's happening. But I do know with the school, I will be, I have my phys ed class. I also like, I know Fort Good Hope Chief Facility School has gone to the NW track meet. I would like to see the school participate in more tutorial events. We'll see how that goes. I know it's a high cost to make that happen. But at the local level, there has been a ski club, and I'd be interested in pursuing and being part of both the ski club and the snowshoe club and a yoga club. And then, like I mentioned, track and field, which happens or may not happen next year, but we'll see, in Hay River. My vision, my personal vision and why I'm working towards or in the field in recreation is to provide services for the older adult, be it yoga, Nordic walking, I'm not sure what else. I am taking part in the online Tai Chi through the NWTRPA, and yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Well, you'll be interested to connect with Amy because Amy's working with the Elder Active Recreation Association in Whitehorse. So you guys might have some commonalities or ideas that you could share back and forth.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the best part is learning from each other. So thanks. Thanks for sharing your vision. And I know it kind of puts you on the spot because you just moved back. So thank you very much. Let's go to Kelly, then Carly, then Joshua. So, Kelly, if it works for you to chime in, what would be different in your community 10 years from now because of recreation?
I'd like to see more variety for our kids for organized team sports. There's just not enough options for them to kind of decide what they like, what they want to do, what their interests are. There's just not enough variety for them. So that's what I would like to see. And that's because I have a young kid growing up in the community.
Yeah, that that's been a challenge for a long time in Yukon communities because most of the population, as you know, is in Whitehorse, and then it's really hard to get teams in the other rural communities. So that definitely is a challenge, but there are some solutions and strategies that people have tried, so we'll be able to share some of those with you too.
Awesome.
Yes, and I Roger was the recreation manager in the community or recreation director in Barrow for 3 or 4 years, so he might be, I know you've met Roger, but he might have some good suggestions for you as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Kelly. Over to you, Carly.
I think 10 years ago, I think I would, or 10 years from now, I'd like to see more youth staying involved in sports and recreation. I think there's a lot of opportunities for elementary school kids, but I think somewhere along the line, kids fall out of sport after elementary school. So, yeah, I think in a perfect world, we would like to find different ways to keep youth involved in sports and recreation.
Yeah, and it's not, I think that you're right. There, 10 years from now, we have to know a different way of doing that because even, remember in the spring, there was a report that came out that said because of COVID, 1 in 3 young athletes, meaning like teenager, young adults who are athletes, were not planning on returning to sport after COVID. So, you know, there's a high dropout rate or drop off rate perhaps in participation. So doing things differently, I think, is really important, especially in that sort of 13 to 24, 25 age range. So it would be great to figure that out over the next 10 years. I agree. Thank you. Over to Joshua. How about in Farrell, in a perfect world, what would be different in your community 10 years from now because of recreation?
10 years from now in recreation, okay, community connection, not just with Farrell, but I'd like to see recreation stretch out a bit and come together as in like with Ross River and CarMax, Pelly and Mayo and do a lot of community connection that way and just become a whole instead of just an individual community through recreation, I mean.
Yeah. So using recreation for social benefit and community benefit then.
Well, not just that, but as Kelly was saying, like sporting events or anything like that, like our seniors here in Farrell, we do some hikes every once in a while or indoor hikes, but how great would it be to be able to connect to CarMax to find some of their hikes and their seniors and connect there and do stuff like that?
Yeah, kind of like a regional approach then?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think on occasion things have been tried, but I think that a little bit more structure and connections and things might help that a little bit more. So thanks. That would be a great thing to work on over the next 10 years. I think it would make a big difference. Thank you. Okay, Ethan has popped his answer in the chat here, so I'll just read it out, and then we'll go to Connie and then Amy. So Ethan said that his vision is for recreation, the community is more organized. So it's easier to run programs and activities when they're organized and planned. Totally agree. I've heard that from lots of people, Ethan, how much easier that structure is rather than just having random drop-in things. So, yeah, so sort of some more organization to things so you know who's coming and people know that they can rely on those activities happening when they show up. So thanks for sharing that. Over to you, Connie. What would be different 10 years from now in your community because of recreation?
I think it would be nice to have more outdoor recreation because a lot of our recreation is really indoor and urban-based. And unless you have access to a car or you can pay, it's hard to access different types. So, for example, like unless you go outside of like the greater Toronto area and up to like northern Ontario, you can't access things like camping, or it's harder to access things like camping or just more wilderness stuff. Or the outdoor recreation that we do have, it's quite costly. And then it would be nice to be able to lower the cost so that everyone can be able to access it.
Yeah, that's really important in urban settings. That links a lot to goal number 3 of the National Framework for Recreation in Canada, or the Framework for Recreation in Canada that we'll look at next week. And that one is about encouraging sort of that outdoor, those outdoor play experiences, outdoor recreation experiences, and definitely more challenging in an urban setting than what it is for some of our communities in the north, where things are just right out our back door. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting how recreation it can be specific to people, but also to geographic location too. So thanks for sharing that. Amy, how about yourself? In a perfect world, 10 years from now, how would recreation, or what would your community look like because of recreation?
Yeah, I think there's, I agree with Connie, more outdoor things. I mean, lots of people here do lots of outdoor stuff. There's a lot of paddling and skiing and running and whatever, but kind of more organized, and just thinking in terms of the game center and like gym culture. I know a lot of people who are interested in that kind of strength-based recreation but are intimidated by gyms or indoor spaces, who have said that they would be really into something that happened outdoors. So that kind of thing would be awesome. And then also I think a lot of the time the people who come out and join up with recreational activities are kind of the usual suspects and the same people every time, and I would love to see more going out to a more diverse, I would just love to see more diversity, like providers going to groups outside of the groups that they usually service and asking, like, what's not here for you? What do you want to see? How can we serve you? And sort of bringing in everybody rather than just saying, like, here's what we're offering, and having the same people come out all the time.
Yeah, and that can be a challenge sometimes too, because some people, you know, recreate, but they do it on their own, right? So then you don't know if you're missing them, or if it's, you know, they're just not coming because they're doing something else, or they would prefer to, you know, or they don't know about what you're doing. So it's an interesting mix to try and reach those people that you know you're not reaching, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of reaching other groups, I had an interesting meeting this morning in Iqaluit. They just opened a new jail here 2 weeks ago, and they moved 2 of their correction officers to positions where they're responsible for recreation, so they're now recreation officers. So it was quite interesting to hear their perspective and how important recreation is for the people that they work with as well. So, you know, trying to think of a different group that we might not always think of, and there's one right there. So I thought that was quite interesting. So thanks for sharing that. I guess my vision long-term for recreation is one where, you know, we address some of the challenges around mental health. People are physically more healthy. We improve mental health. And also, I think we do that through recreation that provides a broad variety of activities, a number of which are offered outdoors, and that bring people together and help people make positive connections together. So I really appreciate that. I think we all have amazing visions, and I think you can see that every community is different and every person brings a different perspective. And that's, to me, what's so interesting about sharing your ideas, your perspectives, and learning from one another. Just to wrap up our call today then, next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Framework for Recreation in Canada, and it was introduced, or it was developed by 2015, but the conversations were very much like the ones we've had today, and they started back in 2011. So it was interesting to see how conversations like what we've just had today can lead to something that can provide us with guidance and inspiration in the work that we do as leaders. So if you get a chance now between now and the next conference call next Thursday, I encourage you to work through the activities in week two and also take a look at the framework for recreation in Canada, just the vision and the main goals. So this wraps up our first conference call. If you haven't had a chance to do RLA number one, RLA stands for Required Learning Activity, and all of our learning events go over 2 weeks. They have two conference calls and two required learning activities. And then we give credit for participating and also for completing the required learning activities. And then over time, those credits add up to a certificate, and we actually have two different certificate programs now. So if you haven't done the first RLA for week one, please take a look at that, and it's fairly straightforward, and I really encourage you to read what other people have posted. You're also welcome to share things in a different way other than words. You can record yourself on your phone and upload a recording, or you can draw a picture, or have your child draw a picture of you that introduces you, however you want. Be creative. So I will stay on the line after I stop the call recording, and if anyone has any questions about this learning event or how things work, please stay on the line after the recording stops, and then I'll answer your questions then. And I'm going to try and say thank you in Inuktitut here in Iqaluit. They say Nepermic. I think that's right. And Ethan in Kuktuktuk is Kwana. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Awesome. So on one of our conference calls, I'm going to ask you guys all to learn how to say thank you in a local indigenous language local to your area, and we'll share those. You don't have to do that today. So I'd like to thank you very much for joining our first call, and I look forward to connecting with you again next week and also over the week remotely. I'm just going to stop the call, and please stay on the line if you have any questions. Thank you.